Thank you for that, Patricia. We are back in our discipleship series, and we are on chapter number 5. We're talking about fellowship. We started last week, and we gave the introduction to that, and we talked about the fact that fellowship is something deeper than friendship. Fellowship is something, well, it's deeper simply because the people you have fellowship with, in a spiritual sense, you have a shared family relationship, okay? You're saved, you're in the same family of God. You also have, if you're right in your beliefs and going forward, you're going to have shared beliefs, you're going to have shared values. And when you have those things, you're going to have a deeper type of friendship, as it were, and you'll be able to have fellowship based on that. Fellowship isn't, like Brother Chim mentioned, potlucks, okay? I'm thankful that we quit having potlucks years ago. I'm not saying your cooking was bad, it was just messy. We'll just have Brother Chim barbecue when we have food. That works out better. But fellowship is more than that. So, having that, we'll go past the introduction. I want you to look at the page where it says, our relationship with fellow Christians. If you're having fellowship, you have to have a relationship with those who are Christians. In our introduction, we looked at the two greatest commands in the Bible, which is loving God and loving other. These are the ones that Jesus gave us. We didn't come up with those on our own. In fact, Jesus was asked to give the greatest command in the Bible, and he gave the greatest command, and then he threw in the second one, not because it was daily double. He threw it in because it was so related to the first one, he felt compelled to give it, and that is loving others. It is closely related. By the way, if those are the two greatest commands in the Bible, and we're seeking to be obedient, godly Christians, then it is imperative, actually, we're obligated to fulfill those two great commands. Yeah. We have to love God, and at the same time, we have to love each other. There are several verses in the Bible that teach us how we as Christians are to interact with one another, because love is not just in our feelings. By the way, be thankful for that, because feelings come and feelings go. Some mornings you wake up and you feel loving towards your wife or husband, just depending on who you are, or your children. Other times you wake up and it's like, I'll pass. See me after lunch, okay? But that's our feelings. We don't want to base our love on feelings. Feelings change. Feelings are up. Feelings are down. And love is much more important than that. I think in your book there, it is vital that we understand this, because we cannot love God correctly if we do not love one another correctly. It's impossible. It is absolutely impossible to love God. Now, here's the hard part about that. It's a struggle. Okay? Don't raise your hand, but how many of you would say in your mind that sometimes people can be frustrating? You can raise your hand on this one. How many of you, you have a name in mind? No, you just raised your hand. How many of you would be honest and say, sometimes I can be frustrating? The rest of y'all are lying, okay? Listen, people are people. And sometimes people are just frustrating. But if it was easy, I guess, you know, anybody could do it. But we're supposed to love one another, and so we have to work on it. They're so intertwined in such a way that each relationship affects one another. I remember years ago in the early days of the church, a Cambodian gentleman started coming to our church. And in the years past, he had been assistant pastor at a Cambodian church earlier. And I remember we were out, I don't know if we were visiting or whatever, and we were down in the Cambodian community, because that's when we were Cambodian Baptist Church, and we were driving down Anaheim, and we drove by a Cambodian car repair shop. And this guy, you know, at our church, wanting to help, former assistant pastor, he pointed to that place. He goes, the guy who, he said it in his, I'm not going to try to do his broken English. He said, the guy there, I hate him. And I thought, okay, he didn't just say that, right? I'm like, I'm sorry, what did you say? Oh, that guy here, he bad guy, I hate him. I'm thinking, okay, you can't do that as a Christian. We're not allowed to hate people. We dislike them intensely. Okay? It's just, we don't have that option. And I don't think he meant that. Maybe it was lost in the translation. He was frustrated. But we have to really work at it if we're going to love people. because it's so linked with our love with God. So here are some of the one another verses we'll go through. Look at the first one. This is common sense, right? We are to love one another. We're to love one another. We just have to. We got to work on it. We could put many verses here about loving one another, but the fact is it's the second greatest commandment in the scripture. It's that important. And it's hard to love others if we do not have relationships with them. You see, when you don't have a relationship with somebody, it is easy to misjudge them. Is it not? It is easy to think something about them. I don't know how many times, not just since I've been a pastor, but over the years just working here in the staff, that people have come and are like, you know, I think there's something with brother so-and-so or sis against me. I just don't like, and I'm like, have you talked to them? Well, no. It's like, go talk to them. And they'll go to talk to them. It's like, it was just a misunderstanding. Or I'll give this illustration. I haven't given it in a while. But when we first moved over, we lived over in Flagstone, where we live now, but a different house. I remember Brother Pineda lived with us. And we had a neighbor next door. And he was kind of a weird guy. We hadn't quite met him yet. I think, Brother Pineda, you said, I don't think that guy likes us. He was like, you know, he just seemed to be mumbling. You remember that? You started it, okay? And then I remember you put that in my mind, and I got in my car and I was driving away and he was talking to somebody. And as I drove by, he pointed at my car and he shook his fist. And I thought, man, I don't even know this guy. And then I realized one day I came home and I saw him walking by himself and he had a white cane. He was blind. He didn't know us. He just happened when he was talking to the guy to make a pointing gesture and move his hands. He just happened to be mumbling because Brother Pineda was outside probably mowing the lawn. And I got to know him. He was actually a nice guy. But I thought, neighbor hates us. I think I have something like that now, but we'll move on. But we misinterpret people. Remember this. Love is not a feeling. Love is an action. We are to act in love towards our fellow Christians. Now, here's the good thing about that. You ready? You never are. You can act loving even when you're not feeling it. Do you understand that? That's called being a phony. Well, if you were doing that all the time, I guess it would be. But if you're not feeling it, you can still act kind. You can still act loving until the feeling comes. I would rather have somebody be irritated with me but do nice things for me than to not do nice things and show their act nice. Okay, so we can love. It's in our actions. Look at this verse. This is a heavy one too if you think about it. John 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Now, is that the first time in the Bible that love was mentioned? No, so it's not a new commandment. It's the scope to which he's going to tell us to love that's new. I give you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, that's heavy. Okay. Husbands, here you go. Ready? Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Yeah. Remember my son's father-in-law, when he first visited our church in Monterey Park, and he had us over for dinner, and he said, he gave me that verse. He goes, how do you do that? That's rough. I know. That's our goal. And we're supposed to love each other the way he loves us. Why is that important? Look at the next verse. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You know what distinguishes us as Christians in this world? That we carry a Bible? No. That we carry the right Bible? No. That we act a certain way? No. Nothing wrong with those things. You know what distinguishes us in the eyes of the world? Our love for one another. Do you know that the unsaved people, and it's just it just the way, not all of them, but the way it is, a lot of times we just, you know, if you're good to me, I'll be good to you. And as long as you don't push too far, I'll be fine with you. But as Christians, we have a deeper type of love. And the world looks at us. The most damaging thing that could happen in a church is when people don't love one another. People don't love one another. When there's division amongst God's people, that's a problem. We just did the PowerPoint showing all the old pictures from the building. I remember there was a guy named Greg Leffler. Any of you remember him in the early days of the building project? He actually was going to start designing the outside of our building, and he was a little bit behind, and we kept pushing him for the drawings, and he sent us a drawing, and Pastor Esposito looked at it, and then he sent it to me. He goes, "What's your thoughts?" I'm like, "It looks like a prison." It was the ugliest thing I'd ever seen. The guy just threw something out there to get us off his back. But anyhow, when he was meeting with us early on, we were trying to get approval from the city. He goes, he was at one church. They went before the city council of their church to get approval for their building. And they had, like we had, the people in the community that didn't like the church that stood up and lied. Remember those people? But we had a lot more, even including our neighbors that didn't even go to our church on our side. So they started doing that process, and their church was getting up telling them that they were all for the church, please let us build. And on the other side, someone else got up and said, "I'm a member of that church, I don't want you to let them build." Whatever his reasons were. And they said, the head of the city council, the mayor said, "We're not even going to discuss this thing until your church, you guys can get your own act together." You imagine what that says about Christianity, though? You imagine what it looks like to the world when Christians have disagreements among themselves. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, when Christians look, they want to see love amongst other Christians. And that's the thing that says, you know what? What they have is legit. Yeah. What they have is real. That's very important. Next, we are to prefer one another. Prefer. The word prefer means to show deference, to humbly put another first. That means that we put the needs and wants of our fellow Christians ahead of us sometimes. We will do that for our families, do we not? As a parent, sometimes shockingly, brothers or sisters, they'll put something that they may want or that they're doing ahead of other people. We just had Mother's Day. That video was very, I love that video, the hardest job in the world, because it's true. Seems like mothers just put their everything before themselves. And as Christians, we do that too. Sometimes we give our time. Those of you that come out on the bus routes, those of you that work in any of our ministries, those of you that work in the nursery, thank you for that. Okay. And by the way, you know, the nursery's starting back up. Well, let's make sure we're taking our spot. But thank you. I love babies. I just don't love them in here. Okay, I can love them while they're in the other building. I can love them a lot better, actually. We use our talent. We give our treasure. I'm very humbled by all the different testimonies I'm hearing of people in our church that are going to give. This is just a season of time in our church where we're trying to push to get the building done, and we've not done it like this for several years. When we're giving to the building, in a sense, we're putting the people of our community, the people of this world, ahead of us. We do that as Christians. We don't look at another person in your book again from the aspect of what can I get from them, but what can I give to them? That's how it is. You know, we're not, sometimes in the world you have friends and it's like, what can they do for me? What do I get? That's not the whole concept of a friend. The real concept of a friend is, what can I give in this relationship? That's why it says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Because if you're putting yourself out for them, you know what they're going to do? They'll reciprocate. But we put others first. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Here, you want to know if you prefer one another? I'll say this and we'll move on, because this is going to be convicting. We moved into the new auditorium and y'all have your seats now, right? I like that, because I know where you sit and I'm like, hey, so-and-so's here, so-and-so's not here. Wait, what's it? But what if someone was sitting in your seat? Okay, let's move on quickly. I remember our pastor, when I was a new Christian, Brother Black, he said he was on vacation and he said they went to a church and they were sitting there ready for church, and he goes, no one greeted him. And he wasn't being critical. Maybe. He goes, no one greeted us. And then he says, and then right before the service, here came this older lady. He goes, finally, this sweet old lady's going to come up and greet us. And she got up to him and she bent down and said, you're in my seat. okay? So that didn't go over well. All right, I'll quit meddling. Number next, we are to admonish one another. Admonish. What does admonish mean? To look out for other people. To help them see the way that is best and to avoid that which is worse. Hey, admonish, this is the way to go. This is not the way to go. Now we need to be careful with this, by the way. We're to do this through love and encouragement. Some people think they have the ministry of rebuke, right? All they want to do is tell everybody what's wrong, and they never want to lift a hand to help somebody. That's not how it works. But when you develop a relationship with somebody and you have a friendship with them, sometimes you can help them hash things out so they don't make bad decisions. Very important. We do it through love and encouragement. By the way, there's no such thing as spiritual police. You know, well, brother, I just feel like it's my responsibility to tell you this. Well, you know what? I feel it's not. Okay. Who are we? You know, the Bible is kind of clear. The times we get involved with things like that is if somebody is hurting somebody else. And the reason we do it isn't for their sake, it's for the sake of the person they could hurt. But see, we think we get up all up in everybody's business. It's none of your business. Unless they ask, well, it's quiet. Unless they ask you, it's kind of none of their business. Yep. And by the way, if you're going to tell people things, how much have you prayed for them? And I know we live in a different time and it's so easy to connect with people. When someone is having issues, if you find out about it, why don't you just keep it to yourself? Well, this is going over real well. I think the Titanic just hit an iceberg. It's not our responsibility. Okay? Unless it's directly affecting somebody else. And by the way, if somebody does struggle with something, we go around telling everybody about it. How is that going to help them? All right, let's admonish people and encourage them. By the way, sometimes you encourage people in a positive way without being negative. And that's really what it is. But we want to do drive-bys, you know, pum, 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 pum. That doesn't help anybody. And then you leave them bleeding on the sidewalk. That's not your responsibility. What is it? Admonishing is watching out for each other and prompting each other to continue in the right direction. Now, by the way, I've had people, and I don't necessarily want you to unless you want me to. I don't have time to run your life, but I've had people say, you know, Pastor Myers, if you ever see something in my life that is not right, that I might be missing, come tell me. And I'm okay with that. Not that I remember we had a guy one time, he came and said, hey, I want to ask you a question. Do you think I'm this? Now, he asked. And I guess he thought I was going to say something different. I said, absolutely. He's like, really? I'm like, you asked. I'm not trying to hurt you. I don't think you're a bad person, but you did ask. But I'm just saying, we can encourage people and help them. Romans 15, 14. And I myself am also persuaded of you, brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, also able also to admonish one another. Maybe if we had goodness and knowledge, we'd be able to encourage people in a better way. Right? Next, we are to serve one another. Serve. Remember, like we said earlier, love is more than a feeling. The action of love is shown when we are willing to serve one another. Now, this goes against our grain. Sometimes serving and helping people seems degrading. And by the way, sometimes the best way to show love for others is doing things for them. I mean, I don't know, over the years as an adult Sunday school teacher, I've done a lot of things for people in my class that had nothing to do with the Bible, had nothing to do with Jesus. I've helped people move. I've given people rides and this and that and the other, and I am more than glad to do that. Okay, that, you know what that is? That's serving. It's being kind. Remember back in the early days of the church, I wasn't on staff yet, and pastor wasn't even getting paid by the church. And this is back before cell phones. I was coming home from work, and it was 2:30 in the morning, and my car kind of blew up in the middle of nowhere on the 710 and not the best area. And I was there, and I finally got to a phone booth. I could only think of one phone number. I hated to do it. Like, I called Pastor Esposito. You know, he got up. I'm like, man, Pastor, I hate to bother you, but you're the only person. Like, I'm like, you know, on the freeway. You know, cell phone, you could have texted somebody. And he's like, no problem. And he came and picked me up. So I tried it again another time, and he said no. I remember one time in early days of our church, we just started the church. The building over on Walnut, remember we had service at 3:30 in the morning, at 3:30 in the afternoon, remember? And the church that we rented from that started church at 9 in the morning, they were never done at 3:30. They went later. I don't quite understand that. So what we would do is sometimes if we got out in time, the early days, because we were another place, we met a little earlier, we would go out to Brother Goddard's for night service. And I remember we went out there, and I don't know whose car. Oh, we had a church. I think we had the church van. Yeah, church van that Brother Goddard gave us. And so our family, my wife and our family and his family went out there, maybe a couple other people. And like, sure enough, after we left church, the van would not start. It was like deader than Julius Caesar. I mean, we sent it to get fixed, but personally, I was looking for a white sheet, you know, just cover it and have a funeral. And Brother Goddard saw us out there, and he got one of his men to tow the truck and fix it. And he himself went and got a church van and took us home. And bought us dinner. Now he didn't get home till late that night, okay? He could have got someone from his church. Yeah. So I probably would have myself, like, yeah, go ahead. You know, I'll get this guy. I think he's got a license. I think he's sober. But you know what? He was just being a servant. Yep. And by the way, he's always been like that to our church. That's why I admire him and appreciate him so much. You know, sometimes just serving people, just, hey, God, sometimes we go soul winning, we do all those things, but sometimes we just need to help people. Most people are willing to be served. Very few people are willing to serve. That seems to be the case. Okay? You say, you know, Pastor Myers, how can I serve others? You know, I was just thinking about that. Park off site. That'd be a blessing. Now, if you're older or you're a lady or whatever, but you singles, I don't want to see your car in the parking lot. Blue Line's a really good place to park. Okay, we'll move on. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And what did Jesus say? He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. If Jesus can serve others, why can't we? Now, before we move on, and we have a whole other chapter dedicated to this, but one practical way we can serve others in the church is through ministry. Use your talents for God, okay? Now, there's certain jobs we do that you don't need talents. Well, you do have to have patience if you're going to work in the nursery. If you're going to be a Sunday school teacher, you got to be able to teach. But listen, we can all find somewhere in the church where we can be a blessing to others. Parking lot, usher, you name it. That's just doing it for people. And by the way, you'll enjoy church a little bit more when you get more involved. So let's serve. We'll go with this one and we'll be done. And this is, like, this is an easy one, okay? We are to forgive one another. Amen. That's what you say. We are to forgive. It's hard sometimes. It is. Love realizes that we all have weaknesses. In any relationship, there will be times when there will be difficulties. You know, when a new person comes to church and they like church and they see it from a little bit of the outside, right, and everybody looks like they have halos on, they don't realize the halos are being held up by horns, but they see the halos. And the church is perfect and all that, and there's that first love, and then you realize that it is a great church. They are great people, but they are just that. They are people. And people have weaknesses. And just like anything else, we need to forgive them. Even in your life, if things happen, and last summer I preached, a 2 or 3 week series on being forgiving. We need to treat others with a little bit of understanding, and not get so upset. And by the way, I'm like you. I want to get upset. I hear things, and I want to, like, no, let me show you. This is how I want to react. Sometimes the staff will bring up something, like the health department, whatever, and I'm like. And Brother Jim's been really good. Like, no, we're going to talk nicely to him. I said, I know, I'm not going to do that. That's why I have you talk to him, not me. I just like to vent to you, and then I feel better, and you go take care of it, all right? But, you know, we want to just, well, we got to stop and think. And don't raise your hand, but have we ever made mistakes? Have we ever treated somebody in a way that we realize later that isn't right? Do we appreciate when those times happen that the other person is forgiving? Okay, so if that's what we want to receive, we also need to give it. And I know it's one of those things, it's easier said than done. Maybe it is a misunderstanding or a difference of opinion. Christians should be quick to forgive one another. After all, Christ forgave us. Look at Ephesians 4:31. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. This is another one of those hard ones. We read the Bible so briefly, but if you stop and think about it, it's like, oh, that's tough. How are we supposed to forgive people? Are you ready? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Wow. That's high goal. We need to work at it. But in a church setting, if we're talking about fellowship, if you're looking for a place with perfect people, where there will never be an issue, this church isn't for you. In fact, no church is for you or me. Now, we need to do our best. That doesn't mean we should come in here like, I'm just having a bad day. Let me take it out on everybody. Take it out on your cat. Don't take it out on people at church. But we need to have deference. I heard the story. You heard the story maybe. There was a man. He was a castaway. His boat sank, and he got stuck on an island all by himself. And he was there for about 10 years. Finally, he was rescued. The rescuer came on the island. They saw him, and they looked, and there was three huts. He goes, wait a minute, you're here by yourself. Why do you have three huts? And the guy goes, oh, the first hut? That's where I live. He goes, okay, what's the second hut? He goes, second hut? That's where I go to church. He goes, what's the third hut? He goes, that's where I used to go to church. Isn't that kind of how we are, right? We can always find something. We need to work on it. But let's be quick. Before I finish here, I will stop there, but I do understand it. Sometimes things happen to us in life. And let me say this. In the concept of that forgiveness is good for your sake. And I know sometimes some of you have faced things in your life, maybe before you're saved or maybe in a family or whatever, that I would wish no one to go through. But let me just say this. You need to forgive the person, not even necessarily for their sake, for your sake. Because bitterness seeps in. You know, and what happens is, you know, it's like the guy who meets the girl and her whole family's bad and everything. And he's like, I'm going to rescue you from her family. But she never got that, or he never got that settled. And what happens? Eventually that just transfers to the spouse. Eventually it transfers to their friends. And so for our sake, even if someone really, in essence, doesn't forgive them, you forgive them for Christ's sake and you move on. That doesn't mean you let them continue what they're doing, though, by the way. Okay. But forgiveness is very important. We better stop there. We're a little bit late. Let's pray this evening. Father, we are grateful for your love for us. And really, second to your love for us, and of course the love of our personal families, is the love that we can experience amongst one another in our church family. Lord, we're not perfect. And Lord, we have our issues sometimes we need to deal with. But Lord, if we will take the time to develop the relationships and work through it, sure is sweet to have a place to come several times a week and a group of people who really have the same values, goals, and purpose in life we can help share a little bit of our life with. Bless us now. Be with us until we meet again on Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.